Let's acknowledge them one more time. I think the comment I've heard most on Friday nights, you are so lucky or blessed, depending on who it was that was talking, to have such great talents in this center. Very well. This whole month is about purpose, and today's message is entitled A Father's Strength. And it comes from our journal. And in the journal, it's really a short essay about giving advice to dads how to be good dads. And that isn't sort of where I wanted to go with it, but by all means, read the journal. It's coming up in 2 days. It was the perfect title for Father's Day. But what does strength mean? What is a father's strength? What is that thing that we say, my dad is strong? What does it mean? Does it mean my dad is strong, that he has big muscles and is able to lift furniture and, you know, lift cars off people and things like that? It could mean that. But I don't think that's all it means. I think the real strength of the divine masculine or of the good fathers is the strength of character, is the strength of knowing and teaching and modeling how to be in this world, how to live a full life, how to bring joy to every moment. And so many of you have told me about your fathers, and some of you have such beautiful memories. Some of your fathers are still with us. Some of your fathers are not. But they're still in eternal life. Some of your fathers were tender and loving and kind and used their strength to be patient, to be compassionate, to be loving. Others weren't quite as awake. And the unawakened ones, I would just say they hadn't realized their real strength yet. They hadn't awakened to that strength. Most of you probably had experiences, because our parents' job is to give us both roots and wings. Roots, so we appreciate and have values and know where we belong and what is home. And wings, so that we'll be independent and fly. One without the other is not a good job. Having wings without roots means that there's a displacement. Having roots without wings means that you have never developed your own sense of identity. So what I know is that what I'm talking about, the father's strength, and it's for all of us, men and women, a father's strength is that is the vision caster, is that knows that his job, especially when children are young, but for his whole life, involves modeling what kind of person he wants his children to be. And a father's way of being affects both his daughters and his sons. Oftentimes, Rick and Karen have sung on Father's Day the John Mayer song about how daughters are watching. They're watching their dads. Their dads are teaching them about relationships. And so are their mothers. So, this great strength that a father brings. So first of all, for the fathers, I want to talk just a little bit about my own dad, who passed the year I moved to the United States, which was 1993. He was suffering greatly from dementia, Alzheimer's, and he was not nearly the man that he had been all of my life. But it was where he was in his life. And his passing was a blessing to my mom and to the rest of the family, but didn't mean that we weren't sad. We were still sad. And of course, there was a flood of memories. And the memory that came to me this morning, not last night, by the way, I need to show you something. I got here this morning and I went into the bookstore, and in the middle of the floor, on the bookstore floor, is this book. It had jumped off the shelf. Now, I'm telling you, it was far away. It was like 4 feet away. Something moved it off the shelf. So I actually think it's my dad, but it could be someone else's dad. There are several people here it could be. But look at the title of this book, The Secret Language of the Soul, A Visual Guide to the Spiritual World. I don't know if we have more than one copy, but we can order more. I'm going to put it back. I just thought how interesting that this day, this would be the book. So what we know is that we live in a unified field, the physicists say. We could say we live in a spiritual oneness, a wholeness, and that everything is connected. Everything is connected. And so anything that we see has meaning for the one looking. In fact, the world is created by that look, by that gaze. What we experience is what we expect to experience, what we're looking for, we're looking at and with. I'm going to say it again, what we're looking for, we're looking at and with. So this was no mistake, it was no accident. I was supposed to let you know that that's the first thing I saw when I walked in the bookstore this morning. And it reminded me of my dad. Thursday night, or Wednesday night, that night, early in the morning, I have a vivid dream. And I rarely remember my dreams, and I don't even remember the whole thing of this one, but it was about my dad. My dad was driving a big car, a huge car. Now, remember in the 50s, those of you who are old enough, and most of us are, that we could, those big, big wide seats that you could get 4 or 5 adults across them. And we did. And we're 7 children. That's what we did. But there was no fear. Anyway, my dad was driving this big old car, and it was filled with people that I knew. But we were going on a trip. We were going somewhere that required a couple of flights. It was a long way. And that's all I remember. But about 4 or 5 hours later, I found out that John LaMontagne had passed that morning. And I thought, I wonder if this is connected. I wonder if it's connected. My message from my dad was connected to this beautiful family who was in need of support. And they're here this morning. So Joan and Ann, you're in all of our hearts. We're really very happy that you're here. And know that you hear exactly what you need to hear on this Father's Day. And that's for everybody. So I had this dream about my dad. I put it together a little while later that somehow there's always a messenger. There's always a messenger. We may not understand the message because we often are literal in our thinking. Well, my dad is not driving a car anymore. But he's not on this side driving a car, and who knows what he's doing on the other side. But it brought that to mind. The strength of my father was his great patience. He was one of the most patient men I know, but my first ex-husband called me on his death and said, I want to express my condolences. Your dad was the best man I've met. And that he was the greatest teacher there was. My dad attempted to teach my adult husband so he could go to university to upgrade his math skills. My dad had a master's in math. He was our local principal for many years and was a teacher, the best teacher I know. A kind of teacher that could take a very complex thing like algebra and teach it to someone who was not an abstract thinker. That was what he was good at. And it didn't matter how tired he was, he would do that. I admire that so much. here's what I know from the meditation. Whatever it is that you admire, the person you admire, that represents the Father within you. And when you put the words I am in front of that quality, you're owning it. You're moving toward it. You're moving into it. You're making it full, making it complete in your life. My dad was also a very compassionate man. I went into university with a full scholarship. I had really great marks. Well, who wouldn't? Your dad is the principal, you know, so I've studied a lot. And I came out of my first year of university having majored really in partying rather than in any of the subjects, with a really dismal, dismal scores. I got 2 B's, a D, and 2 F's. I know, and I was so afraid to go home and tell my dad. The marks in those days were posted at the university campus, and I was so afraid. But one of my friends had already told my dad. So, because he was her teacher too, right? So they're all calling, saying, Mr. Clark, here's how I did. She did very well. I called my dad, and I couldn't talk. And he just said, that's okay. It was the most compassionate way of acknowledging. We don't love you because of your good grades. It isn't a conditional love. It's unconditioned and unconditional. And that, I think, is great strength. He had every right in the world to, you know, he and my mom, other than the scholarship, they were paying everything. And I went straight through my 4-year degree in 3 years, and after that dismal start, you know, I had to catch up some. And they paid for everything, which was so very generous of them. And that is the other thing. That generosity is a great strength. Love is a great strength. And who our fathers are the ones who taught us about love. Some things they believed about life were true, but they were doing the best they could. They taught us what they believed, and they cast their vision for our lives. They cast their vision, their vision casters. So when you look at the creative process, it always seemed odd. Ernest Holmes would say that it's the masculine aspect that's the intuition, not the feminine. It always seems odd because we talk about women's intuition, but when you start realizing the masculine is the chooser, the inner father is that which chooses to know something, chooses values, chooses ways of life. So that inner father that is in you is your conscious mind, according to Ernest Holmes. Process. It's the thoughts you can choose to think. And when they're in alignment with the good that is, they bless you and they bless your life. Think about the last, let's say, 48 hours. I know some of you were really busy the 72 hours before that, but you had this, the choir and all of us who attended had this extraordinary show Friday night. And then, what about yesterday? Where was your language yesterday? What vision were you catching? What vision were you casting? What were you saying about yourself? Were you saying, God, it's a great life. I'm so happy to be alive. Were you saying, I'm a powerful, independent thinker? Were you saying, I get better looking every day? Or was your conversation around how tired you are? How exhausted? I heard exhausted a lot. And on the physical plane, I understand. This group of people, and there are people that aren't able to be here this morning, the Jewel Tones Choir, worked their tails off last week. I mean, they were here every night until after midnight some nights, and really working and working and working to give us a great show, and they did. And it's then in the aftermath to stay in the positive. Blue skies are smiling on me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. It's your choice. What are you prophesizing? Are you saying, I'm well, I'm great, I'm happy, I'm whole, I'm healthy? Or are you paying attention to an ache or a pain and giving it power in your life? That inner Father within you knows you only as whole, complete, and perfect. A couple of things that I wanted to share. So the sixth commandment is honor thy father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land of the Lord your God. Listen to the whole thing. It's not just honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life. So it's a condition of living a long, full life is to honor those two that gave you life. And that's part of what we're doing today. No matter how well, how awakened they were, every single father or father figure was doing the best he knew how. Or if it was a woman, she knew how. At the time he did it. If they could have done any differently, they would have. And if they cast a vision for your life that doesn't fit you anymore, then you need to be your own inner father and choose a life that's befitting the child of the mighty one God that there is, the wholeness of life itself. When I was thinking about my dad, I was thinking about his love of poetry, which I found a strength too. He could recite probably 1,001 or whatever he said last on Friday, Diane. The number of lyrics these people learned was phenomenal. My dad and his two brothers could sit and recite poetry for hours. That's how they'd learned in school, and they were all brilliant men with great memories until my dad at the end. And I thought about this Rudyard Kipling poem, and I'm going to read part of it. Most of you know it. Listen as if you've never heard it before. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you and make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired of waiting or being tired or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or feeling hatred, don't give way to hating. And yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and meet these two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, if you can walk with kings and not lose the common touch, if neither foes your loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son. A fully functioning, fully present human being. Strength of the Father. So what are your strengths? And then the two tools to use in making sure that those strengths are yours. They're both something we do every Sunday here. One is meditation, to get quiet, to listen to that inner prompting from the Father within, the creative presence within you saying, go this direction or go this direction. And then to use a fervent prayer, to speak your word aloud as if it's already so, and continue to bring it into expression. Those two tools are the mainstays of the science of mind. And yet we forget. We poison our lives with falsehoods, with lies. All the time, the law through which spirit works is just sitting there saying, yes, 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 yes. Except it doesn't give it any kind of emotion at all. It just says yes, simply yes. What are you saying yes to? A Father's strength is to say yes to the things you do want, even and especially when you don't see them around you. To keep casting that vision for a future you do want, a world that works for you and for me, for everyone else. David White is a current modern-day poet, and I want to close by sharing one of his pieces. It's deeper, perhaps, than the traditional thing. It was for me anyway. It's entitled The Opening of Eyes. That day I saw beneath dark clouds the passing light over the water, and I heard the voice of the world speak out. I knew then, as I had before, life is no passing memory of what has been, nor the remaining pages in a great book waiting to be read. It is the opening of eyes, long closed. It is the vision of far-off things, seen for the silence they told. It is the heart, after years of secret conversing, speaking out loud in the open air. It is Moses in the desert, fallen to his knees before the lit bush. It is the man throwing away his shoes as if to enter heaven and finding himself astonished, opened at last, fallen in love with solid ground. Fallen in love with solid ground. The strength of the Father is in each one of you right here, right now. May this deep day mark a new beginning for each one of us to speak our holy words out loud about what it is we are, who we are, and what we're doing here. Do not let your circumstances or what's in your life